It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. You are here live with me right now. As I am connecting over, to a non-radio, boom. Welcome. It is July 17th, Monday, July 17th at 1900 UTC here from the bathroom, not the bathroom, sorry, the hotel room of fresh out of the bathroom, live in the hotel room in Portland, Oregon. It's me, DJ Marcus. Hello, go.da, or go.da, and Ratsu, Claudium, LCD, Claudium's in the house. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome. It is news time, and there's, you know, there's a little bit of stuff going on. I'm still out of town, so I've been doing that. Tomorrow, my flight's not until 5 in the afternoon, so I got a late checkout, which I think is noon. I'll have to double check, but I think it means that I'm going to have to record it in the morning because I'm not 100% sure I'll be able to do it live or not, but once I check out, I'll go to the airport and then I'll be sitting around on my phone for a couple hours, I guess, till the flight's out, but that's the fun of it. That's all well and good. I might just ride the bus for a couple hours with my stuff. I don't know. Deep thoughts. But that's not what we're here for. We're here for the news and for pluses and all of that stuff. So let's go ahead here. Oh, let's mute this. My email just let me know. VPN global presence expansion. We're in the process of expanding the VPN points of presence, and we're looking for a few volunteers with active VPN memberships to test. So far, they've been excellent. So, it looks like there's going to be expansion into Tokyo, Shibuya, Tokyo, Japan, Hong Kong, Dusseldorf, and Mumbai. So I'm going to check that out in a minute, but I am going to go ahead and silence my alerts because I don't need any more of that while we're talking about news. Oh, yeah, do not disturb. All right. Get my pluses out before I forget. Da 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 da. And Stug's in the house. Oh, and so while I'm typing, since I'm not thinking too much, be sure to check out the show after this at 1930 UTC every goddamn day. Is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope a fun show that you don't want to miss? And at 20 hours today, on Monday, is Mix Remix. You can just press the equal sign in com if you ever want to see what's coming up. And you'll be all synced up, and you'll seem like you know what you're doing. kind of there. Oh, look, and Jeff and Koyo are coming on board. Welcome, welcome. All right, so let's get going. First on, in Kenya, there's an update. They found more bodies. The death toll in an investigation linked to a Kenyan death cult that practiced starvation to meet Jesus Christ has exceeded 400 after 12 more bodies were found on Monday. So now the total is at 403. Coastal Regional Commander Rhoda Oniacha told AFP in a message following the latest round of exhumations in Shakola Forest, where cult leader Paul McKenzie allegedly urged followers to starve to death. Hey, Hunter Rion Barnes is back. Howdy, Tobe. Welcome, welcome. Every goddamn day. I don't know who go.da is, but they keep spamming the same things. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to use the power of... Oh, okay. How do you approve? A? Yes? Question mark. Approve. I don't know how to approve. Boom. All right, cool. Thanks, Tobe. All right, away we go. The death toll investigation linked. Total 403. Exhumation continues tomorrow as investigators search for more graves in the forest where the first victims, some dead, others alive, but weakened and emaciated, were discovered in April 13th. According to government autopsies, starvation appears to have been the main cause of death, although some victims, including children, were strangled, beaten, or suffocated. McKenzie is a former taxi driver turned preacher and has been in police custody since mid-April. Speaking of taxi drivers, there's a great movie from the 90s called Basha. It's B-A-A-S-H-A. And oh my gosh, if I tell you once, I've told you 1,000 times. This movie is so good. So anyway, B-A-A-S-H-A. Anyway, there's a full copy of it on YouTube with English subtitles if you're ever curious. So yeah. Let's see. And Tobe says, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Hunter Rheon Barnes, a.k.a. Magazine and Ice Furl, etc., etc. Terminal asshole, ex-con, and meth junkie. And the question is, are those the spammers causing trouble lately? Okay. Our boy Rheon is a classic SDF spam hole. Thank you very much. Well, I'll stop giving them any attention. Thank you for the information. All right, and oh yeah, I gotta plus the Z-Man. Okay, so now to present day destruction and news, you know, death and destruction. Egypt, building collapse in Cairo, killing 9 people. A 5-story building collapsed in the Egyptian capital, Cairo, on Monday, killing at least 9 people, authorities say. Oh, the headline and the story disagree. Building collapses are common in Egypt, where shoddy construction and lack of maintenance are widespread in slums and rural areas. The state-run MENA news agency, Mike Echo November Alpha news agency, reported that rescue teams recovered at least 9 bodies under the rubble of the building in Cairo's Hadik el-Kaaba district, about 3.2 kilometers from the center of the city. 4 survivors were also taken to hospital, and authorities evacuated a nearby building. After an initial inspection, Cairo's deputy governor said the collapse was caused by one of the residents on the ground floor who had removed several walls during earlier maintenance work. The man has been arrested and will be investigated. Man, can you imagine? That's a bit of a sad state. And that kind of sucks that it's like, you know, one of your lower floor neighbors got rid of their... You removed a few walls in their house, and that caused the entire place to collapse. Pretty sad. Anyway, it sucks. Those people are dead now. 2 are dead after an explosion on the Kerch Bridge linking Crimea and Russia. Now, this is a big story. I'm sure you can find it all over the place. It certainly was the main story I kept running into, so I was like, well, we better talk about it, because there's death in it. Twin explosions have damaged the Kerch Bridge connecting Crimea to mainland Russia, killing 2 people and closing the main conduit for Russian road traffic to the Annex Peninsula. The heavily guarded road and rail link is among the Kremlin's most important and high-prestige infrastructure projects, and the only overland link that goes directly from Russia to occupied Crimea, which is part of Ukraine, depending on who you ask, since 2014. The apparent attack is the second time that the bridge has been targeted since Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine and followed a decree by Vladimir Putin to enhance security to protect the structure from potential attacks. Video published by pro-Kremlin Crimea 24, taken from the adjacent railroad bridge, showed a section of the road bridge had sheared off and was sloping towards the Black Sea. National Anti-Terrorist Committee later said the attack had been carried out by 2 drones packed with explosives. A spokesman for the Ukraine military agency, had said the peninsula is used by the Russians as a large logistical hub for moving forces and assets deep into Ukraine. Of course, any logistical problems are additional complications for the occupiers. And, of course, The Guardian. The Guardian has a map, and if you know me, I love a good old map. So if you go to sdf.org/l/ 127. Is it really 127? Did we go to numbers? That's that'll be easier to say on the radio. Let's find out. Let's double check this link works. sdf.org/l/127. Yep. But since it's a BBC map, or since it's a Guardian map, it is bad news. So I got a link earlier that said this guy, and it was a link to a picture of a man smiling down at a camera. So I was like, okay. And then this picture I got from The Guardian, sadly, I linked it in com, but it does not have any of the labels. Let's just say the red dot is where the bridge is that was blown up, and all the red area is the Ukraine. So sorry about that. I do like maps, though. Sorry that this map is not useful. All right, so here we go. Now, this is sadness in a different way. A pod of 55 pilot whales has died after being stranded on a beach in Scotland. You might say that one of their pilots was not just one, but 55 pilots couldn't navigate out of this mess. A pod of 55 pilot whales have died after they were found washed ashore on a beach in Scotland, and the worst mass whale stranding in the area. Marine rescuers, the Coast Guard, and police were called to Tregmoor Beach on the Isle of Lewis in the northwest Scotland after receiving reports that dozens of the mammals were in difficulty there early Sunday. The British Divers Marine Life Rescue found that only 15 of the whales, a mixture of adults and calves, were still alive, and attempted to refloat two of the more active animals that were down in the water, were low down in the water. But by Sunday afternoon, rescue teams decided the remaining whales would be euthanized on welfare grounds, after considering the shallow beach, rough wave conditions, and how long the whales had been out of water. The charity said the whole pod may have followed a female whale onto the beach when she had problems giving birth. Pilot whales are notorious for their strong social bonds, so when one whale gets into difficulty and strands, the rest follow. A sad outcome for this pod, and obviously not the outcome we were hoping for. They're going to try and determine what caused their deaths, but this is going to be a big task, because it's 55 animals there. And wow, that's really sad. The pod is so connected that if one of them decides, I better go take myself out, the whole rest of the crew's like, we can't live without you either. We're going to go take ourselves out too. Oh, wow. Anyway, whales are cool. Let's talk about some not cool things, aka human beings. A suspect's been arrested after three people were stabbed in separate attacks in Oxford, North Carolina. Huh, my comm's not moving. I hope people are there. Hit Q. And I'm going to launch a non-radio again. Non-radio. Oh, I got to launch comm and then go to a non-radio. All right, there we go. All right. Cool. So now we're back in action. I'm back in comm. I don't see stuff, but I'm there, so that's all that... Okay. Thanks, LCD. Sorry, I get nervous whenever we talked about... We've been having these DDoS problems and spammers. I was just like, oh no, has something bad happened to me? All right. So anyway, witnesses provided a description of the suspect's vehicle, which was spotted shortly after on Interstate 85 by Granville County Sheriff's Deputy. A suspect was arrested after a short pursuit. The offender, whose name hasn't been released, was taken to Granville County Detention Center. So these were just random stabbings at a Walmart Supercenter, a McDonald's, and then just in the public square nearby. So very random, very sad kind of case there. And there were stabbings, though, which is a step up in the United States, I'd say. If we can get to more stabbings and less shootings, maybe then we can work on the stabbings. You're not going to kill 50 people in stabbings in one go, I guess, is what I'm saying. Long Island killings, the worst I've ever seen, top police investigator says. A senior police investigator on Long Island, New York, has been describing the acts described to the man charged with three murders and Gilgo Beach serial killings as the worst I've ever seen. Suffolk County Deputy Police Commissioner Anthony Carter told CNN suspect Rex Herman, the man in custody since last week, was a demon. Always gotta love it when people use religious descriptions for things in the judicial system, in the criminal system. It's really hard to get into the mind of somebody that's capable of committing crimes, Carter added. This person intended to do what he did to these victims, and this is why I say that's one of the worst, if not the worst. Huerman, 59, was arrested outside his New York architecture office on Thursday and charged a day later with first-degree murder over the 2010 killings of Melissa Bethany, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello. He is the prime suspect in the murder of a fourth woman. He pleaded not guilty to the charges. The four women were among the set of ten sets of adult remains discovered along the beach after another woman went missing and was found dead in the area. Whew. Well, we're at 15 minutes after the show, and if we were able to do this show with Mix the way I'd intended, we would have a song break, but we don't. So that's just how that goes. Let me go here. Let me check. Let me see. I want to see if I can update the metadata. There it is. Alrighty, so that's going on. Let's keep on a rolling. So I just had a little announcement for Con there I needed to type out. Alright, so a freight train carrying hazardous materials derailed in Pennsylvania. Precautionary evacuations are underway after a freight train derailed in southeast Pennsylvania on Monday morning. Just before 5 a.m. Eastern Time, a 40-car train derailed while operating on tracks owned by Norfolk Southern in White Marsh Township, about 7 miles outside of Philadelphia. About 16 of the cars appeared to be off the track. Police in White Marsh Township conducted evacuations of a dozen residents and businesses closest to the scene out of an abundance of caution, because one of the cars was transporting hazardous material. However, there's no indication of any leaks or spills from the operator. Police are echoing that, but I'm glad they're taking the caution, because these private companies, they've been known to lie about this before. Just within this year, they've lied about that. So the derailment is just months after Norfolk Southern freight train carrying hazardous materials derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, which is what I was referring to there. Way to go. Bye, Rion. Thanks for stopping by. So here's a fun story. I just thought, you know what? Today's a special day. Let's talk about this story, which is kind of silly. When Alicia Griggs steps outside her suburban Fort Lauderdale home, Florida's latest invasive species comes on down the street. Lionhead rabbits. That's right. This town is infested with rabbits. The bunnies, which sport an impressive flowing mane around their heads, want the food Griggs carries, but she also represents their best chance of survival and moving where this domesticated breed belongs, inside homes, away from cars, cats, hawks, heat, and possibly government-hired exterminators. That's right. The exterminators for the rabbit infestation. The bunnies, let's see. Griggs is spearheading an effort to raise $20,000 to $40,000 it'll cost for a rescue group to capture, neuter, vaccinate, shelter, and give away the estimated 60 to 100 lionheads now populating Janata Isles, an 81-home community in Wilton Manors. They were descendants of a group of backyard breeder illegally let loose when she moved away. So there we go. That was the secret. But he was breeding these rabbits and then moved away and just left them go. They really need to be rescued, so we've tried to get the city to do it, but they're just dragging their feet. They think that if they do it, they'll have to get rid of iguanas and everything else people don't want around. Iguanas are another invasive species that's all over Florida. Monica Michelle, whose East Coast Rabbit Rescue would likely lead the effort, said capturing, treating, and finding homes for them is not an easy process. Few veterinarians treat rabbits, and many prospective owners shy away when they find out how much work the animals require. People don't realize they're exotic pets, and they're complicated. They have a complicated digestive system, and you have to feed them special food. You can't just throw any scraps at them. Wilton Manor is giving Griggs and other supporters time to raise money and relocate the rabbits rather than exterminate them, even though the city commission voted in April to do just that after receiving an $8,000 estimate from the trapping company. Yes, exactly, Jeff. Exactly. So the safety of the rabbit partners is of utmost importance to the city, and any decision to involve ourselves, we'll be certain to see these rabbits placed in the hands of people with a passion provide the necessary care for them. So lionheads aren't the only invasive species. Like I mentioned before, Burmese python and lionfish are killing off native species. Giant African snails eat stucco off of the home and also carry human diseases. Iguanas are out there destroying gardens. So this though is probably the cutest kind of infestation you can have. And all you got to do to get rid of the rabbits, you know, the fun way to do it would be get rid of the rabbits, bring a bunch of cats to the island, and then the cats can eat the rabbits, and then you will have the cutest island ever. It's like, oh, there's a battle between the cats and the rabbits. That would be so adorable. Anyway, right-wing disinformation about Plan B is causing trouble in the world. Disinformation in general is causing trouble in the world. Hey, Z-Man and Tobe, bumping and jumping, popping out in and out of the comm. The headline warned parents of an unspeakable horror on college campuses. They're saying abortion vending machines, because there's Plan B and vending machines. Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life America, wrote that there was a recent obsession with putting Plan B vending machines on college and university campuses. The conservative backlash against Plan B vending machines stems from an influx of colleges installing them on campuses, at least 39 with more to come. Amid a post-Roe v. Wade world, advocates worry that criticism and disinformation could stymie access to emergency contraceptive. Plan B works by preventing or delaying ovulation. If you miss the point in the cycle to prevent ovulation, it doesn't work. It's different from the abortion pill in that Plan B prevents pregnancy from ever happening, and medication abortion used to end pregnancy. So, yes, I appreciate you guys. That's very cool of you. So in general, Plan B is a contraceptive, and so they're making it available across college campuses where this kind of thing is more likely to happen. Hey, Handy C, welcome. Swiss watchmaker Swatch says it has begun legal proceedings against the Malaysian government for seizing LGBTQ-themed watches from its stores. The move comes after officials impounded 172 watches from its rainbow-colored Pride collection on sale at shopping malls across Malaysia. Swatch wants damages and the return of the watches worth $14,000. Homosexuality activity is illegal in Malaysia under both secular and religious laws. It's punishable by prison sentence or corporal punishment. Swatch filed its lawsuit last month at the High Court in Kuala Lumpur. The case is expected to be heard later this week. I'll let you know what they say. Over in Singapore, on the Singapore newspaper, the Straits Times, inappropriate relationship between Tan Chuan Jin and Ching Li Hui continued despite counseling. An affair between Speaker of Parliament Tan Chuan Jin and fellow People's Action Party Member of Parliament Ching Li Hui continued despite their being counseled by Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong in February. PM Lee said he had learnt about the relationship sometime after the 2020 general election, but did not know when it began. He's been speaking at press conferences at the Istana on Monday afternoon following his announcement of Mr. Tan and Ms. Ching's resignation from the PAP. PM Lee said he spoke to both of them more recently in February and counseled them. However, in July, he came across information that strongly suggested the relationship continued. So that's some drama happening over there. A teenage girl was caught vandalizing the Colosseum. Apparently, after the one guy did it and didn't really get in too much trouble, it's inspired other teenagers and other youngsters to do the same. A tourist was caught defacing Rome's best-known monument here. A Swiss teenager was caught carving her name into the ancient amphitheater. The 17-year-old was caught in the act, with a local tour guy managing to video her scratching the letter N into the wall of the famous landmark. It's the first time I've managed to film an act of vandalism at the Colosseum, but in 6 years I've seen dozens. There are also those who rip off parts of the wall. They even spat on me once for scolding a boy. So, buildings that have lasted for thousands of years are special. Don't destroy them. Let's talk about some technology news. We've only got about 5 minutes to go, so I'm going to try and speed this up, but you know how it goes. A popular app which helps diabetics check their blood sugar has been restored after issues. An update caused it to stop working on some Apple devices, causing distress to those who depend on it for their blood glucose monitoring. The manufacturer said a new version of the Freestyle LibreLink app is now available to download, which fixes the problems. Abbott, the company that makes this stuff, said the people should upgrade to the latest version as soon as possible. Users wear a small sensor as a patch on their arm or belly, which sends data to an app. The company claims to be the top sensor-based glucose monitoring system used worldwide. The National Health Service says there's 200,000 people using these types of sensors in the UK. It was very scary, according to users. This equipment is supposed to save your life. I woke up yesterday morning, went to check my thing, and basically it broke, just showing a white screen. He said Abbott told him to delete and reinstall the app, but the firm had taken it off the App Store. So he didn't have a way to test his blood sugar, and he has to take manual tests, 4 and 10 finger prick tests per day to monitor their levels. So very scary indeed. Microsoft's accusing China of hacking. China-based hackers have gained access to email accounts of around 25 organizations. The software giant has not provided details of where the government agencies are based. However, the U.S. Department of Commerce has confirmed to the BBC that Microsoft notified it about the attack. The Security Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, was among the individuals impacted by the breach. Microsoft notified the Department of Commerce to Microsoft Office's 365 system. I read a different story about this yesterday. Storm 0558 is the hacking group, and they were able to get access by forging digital authentication tokens. The tokens are typically used to verify a person's identity. Microsoft refuses to say that they're 0 days. It's an example if you don't own anything. LCD, good point. Blood glucose monitor is an example. If you don't own anything, you're just renting, you're buying a license that comes with a free device. Very similar to bicycles, electric bikes. You're buying a computer that has a single user license, you know. Subscribe. Very frustrating. All right, see you later, Claudio M. And everybody, thanks for being here, hanging out. We've got about 3 minutes to go. I'm going to try and talk about this nuclear news, but who knows how far I'll get. It's July 17th, and coming up after this is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So France and India are expanding cooperation to include small modular reactors. France and India are to launch a cooperative program on small modular reactors and advanced modular reactors. The announcement came after a meeting in Paris between Narendra Modi and Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, during which they noted progress made on the 6th EPR power plant project in Jaipur, India. Meanwhile, Slovakia's Javis signs an AP1000 and AP300 Memorandum of Understanding. That's Westinghouse's energy generation plant there. And the last one here. Slovenský Elektrárne says that the energy startup stage of Mokovec 3 has seen its power level increase to 75%, with a final trial run at 100% power for 6 days and nights now expected to take place between September and October. The startup process involves gradual increase in power, with tests carried out before the level is raised. Once the tests at 75 are successfully completed, there's checks at 90% and then 100%. The unit's power is increased to 55% in March, with the hope of the final 444-hour trial run at 100% taking place in June. But, you know, that's the delay. That's all the time we got. I appreciate you being here and hanging out. Tomorrow, like I said, it'll probably be recorded. But you know what's always fun and always here? At 1930 UTC, that's our pal Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Mira.